Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
As some of you may know, I just got back from a three-week mission trip to Uganda and East Central Africa. This is my seventh time going to Africa and back, and my fourth time going to Uganda. But of all my mission trips I've taken through the years, this was my favorite for three reasons. First, because I didn't just go by myself to Africa and do my own thing. We went together as a six-person mission team. Second, my staff and I took some of our own children who are now grown-up teens. You know, it's such a blessing to see your children grow up in ministry and then step back and watch them use their spiritual gifts and God-given abilities and to see them want to serve the Lord in ministry. It reminds me of the verse in 3 John 1:4 that says, "I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth." And the third reason why this mission trip was my favorite was because we had a diverse ministry, with each person on the team having their own niche of what they did, which is one of the major reasons why I believe this mission trip was not only an effective ministry, but also a fruitful ministry. Altogether, through the 32 school ministries, 6 church and Sunday school ministries, the CEF Uganda National Conference, and 2 children's ministry workers' conferences, plus other speaking and teacher training ministries, a total of 6,700 children and over 1,100 adults, with a total of over 7,900 people, almost 8,000 people, were ministered to all together in a time period of 3 weeks. That's amazing and a total God thing. Now, some people have asked me about spiritual salvations, and the answer is that, you know, we're not really sure because the groups are so large, with sometimes like 700 children in a school at a time, with sometimes less and sometimes even more. One of the ministers, pastors that were with us with a team after a gospel presentation was given at a school, then asked the students how many of them responded to the invitation and prayed to trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. My son Samuel, who also went on the team, who was one of the team members, he told me that at least 70 students, plus even some of the teachers that were in the school listening to the Bible presentation, raised their hands. The school ministry team members also share with me that this didn't just happen one time, but several times throughout their visits to these different schools, these 32 different schools they went to during their time in Uganda. What else can we say but praise the Lord? Now, I think it's important to mention that there wasn't just one team on this missions trip. It was actually a compilation of 2 teams working together. Our CEF of Illinois mission team, the 6 of us, plus the CF Uganda National Workers mission team working together with us. What a joy it is to do ministry together as God's people, because whether you're talking about mission trips, ministry in general, or serving the Lord in a local church as a body of Christ, effective and fruitful ministry service for the Lord, it takes a team. Before I left on my mission trip to Uganda, I was doing a series on the radio program from the book of Nehemiah, and I actually left off with Nehemiah chapter 11, where it talks about the importance of God's people coming together to serve the Lord as a team. But what does it take to have an effective team? Well, you need the right people and the right places doing the right things. First of all, you need the right people and the right places. When you look at the opening verses in Nehemiah chapter 11, it's important to remember the 7-11 connection. Way back in Nehemiah chapter 7, right after Nehemiah and the people finished building the Jerusalem wall in chapter 6, Nehemiah, the governor of the land of Judea, who was a godly leader with excellent leadership skills, he put his finger right on the rebuilding project issue, and he knew what he needed to focus on next. Nehemiah 7:4 says, "Now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and the houses were not built." Immediately after finishing the rebuilding of the wall, you see, Nehemiah, he knew as a leader that now the city needed to be rebuilt. It needed to be repopulated with the right people in the right places. But he also knew that the rebuilding of the people spiritually in preparation needed to happen first, which is what Nehemiah chapters 8 through 10 are all about. Then as we turn to the opening of Nehemiah chapter 11, with the rebuilding of the wall completed and the rebuilding of the people spiritually completed, now it was time to rebuild the city. But how will Nehemiah proceed to repopulate this practically empty city and build his ministry team with the right people in the right places? Nehemiah resorted to a tried and true biblical solution. First, He cast lots, asking God to guide, direct, and lead according to God's divine choice among the people. And second, as a leader, he cast vision, sharing with the people both the need and the opportunity, but all the while trusting in the Lord that God was the one who was going before him and before the people, working among the people so that the right people in the right places would willingly respond. And that's exactly what God did. Nehemiah 11, verses 1 and 2 says, "And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of 10 to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and 9 parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem." I think it's important to note here that casting lots in Bible times doesn't equal playing dice with God. It means you're resting, you're trusting the Lord's divine sovereignty, even with the small details in your life, if you should stay or if you should go. It means you're asking God to make his will clearly known and to lead and guide. It doesn't matter if you're talking about filling needed places on a missions trip, filling needed places for a volunteer ministry like serving on a committee or helping out with 5-day clubs or vacation Bible school. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about filling needed places for rebuilding a city, rebuilding a ministry, or even rebuilding a local church. The biblical principle, the solution to getting God's right people in the right places, is still the same. You know, we need to follow what the Bible teaches and also follow Nehemiah's lead. First, we must cast lots, so to speak, meaning to rest, to trust in the sovereignty of God, asking God to go before us, to guide and lead. And second, we as leaders must cast vision, explaining both the need and the opportunity, and then to wait for the Lord to work among his people so that they will offer themselves willingly and not respond to us, but to the Lord. This is how biblically the formation of any ministry team, you get the right people in the right places. It's a total God thing. But not only do we need the right people in the right places, but also secondly, we need the right people in the right places doing the right things. The rest of Nehemiah chapter 11 is broken up into 4 major sections. Nehemiah 11 verses 4 through 6, then verses 7 through 9, verses 10 through 24, and then lastly verses 25 through 36. The first major section is Nehemiah verses 4 through 6 that lists the names of the families from the tribe of Judah whom the Lord sovereignly chose and who willingly offered themselves to move into Jerusalem from the rural areas into the city. And then verses 7 through 9, the next major section, then it goes on to list the names of the families from the tribe of Benjamin, who did the same. But then the third major section, verses 10 through 24, takes a more focused, a close-up look at the priests and Levites who moved into the city of Jerusalem and served the Lord by serving the people. In other words, here are the people called of God who willingly responded to the Lord and offered themselves to be the right people in the right places, doing the right things and serving the Lord. You know, if you have time, I do encourage you to read Nehemiah chapter 11, specifically those verses 10 through 24, because even though it may seem mundane on the surface, it is rich in Bible teaching and biblical principles. In this section, we see 2 major takeaways for us to glean from concerning the right people, the right places, doing the right things, and serving the Lord. First, we see the people had different jobs. In other words, everyone had their own niche. They were working and serving the Lord through their specific areas of giftedness and their spiritual call and abilities. These different jobs in Nehemiah chapter 11 are then divided into 2 main categories. Some of God's people took care of, the Bible says, the outside business of the house of the Lord, while others took care of the inside business of the house of the Lord. You see, it didn't matter if these servants of the Lord served as porters or gatekeepers on the outside or singers in the temple on the inside, or they were serving the altar, or they acted as temple treasurers, dividing out the daily portions to God's servants from the gifts given by God's people. None of that mattered, whether outside or inside. All of them, all together, were serving on the same ministry team, and they were there for one reason, to take care of business for the Lord. Now, this is why I believe that one of the reasons our recent mission trip to Uganda was effective and fruitful, because we each had our different jobs that we focused on, but at the same time, we were all there for the same reason, to serve the Lord together as a team. The second takeaway from Nehemiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 24, that third section, was not only that they had different jobs on the ministry team, but also this text shines a light on why they did their jobs in serving the Lord. You see, the people didn't do their jobs for name or for fame, but they did it to be the Lord's servants. But how do we know that? Because the emphasis in verses 10 through 24 is not on the names of people listed, but on the number of people listed who serve the Lord. For example, verse 12 lists 822 people who serve the Lord, not by names, but by the number. It lists it by the number. Verse 13 lists 242 people. Verse 14 lists 128 people. Verse 18 lists 284 people. And verse 19 lists 172 people who serve the Lord. Well, what's the purpose? What's the point of all these numbers of people listed here? The point is not to be impressed with the numbers of people, but with their anonymity, the anonymous nature of those listed who have no name or fame, but were simply there to be part of God's ministry team and serve the Lord. You know, no team of any kind will function well if members are there to make a name for themselves. Even though Nehemiah chapter 11 may seem like a dusty chapter to us, we as God's people today need to take a page from Nehemiah and seek to be the Lord's servant, simply serving God on his ministry team, doing our different jobs, not for self-glory or for name or fame, but to just be God's people who are the right people responding to the Lord willingly, to be in the right places, doing the right things, not for us, but for the Lord. The final verses in Nehemiah chapter 11, verse 25 through 36, that last section, not only speak of the right people in the right places doing the right things and serving the Lord, but also the importance of the right mission. The first 24 verses in Nehemiah chapter 11, it reminds us of the 1 out of 10 people who were divinely chosen by God and willingly offered themselves to move to Jerusalem to serve the Lord. But the last 12 verses in Nehemiah chapter 11 remind us that the other 9/10 of the people still lived outside of Jerusalem in their own areas, in cities, towns, and other rural areas. What's the point of that? Well, why emphasize these remaining 9/10 of the people living outside of Jerusalem at the closing end of chapter 11? Well, the reason why is simply this. The people who were called to serve the Lord didn't just serve the Lord within the four walls of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in the temple, or only within their own city gates in Jerusalem. No, the 1/10 of people who worked inside Jerusalem were also there to minister to the other 9/10 of the people who lived outside of Jerusalem. What does that mean? It means that God's mission field is big, both back then as it is today. Now, Jesus described for us how wide and how long our mission field is in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that he said begins from our own Jerusalem that spreads ever outward to our Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's like that sign that some churches hang over the doors as you walk outside the church building that says, "You are now entering the mission field." Our mission field as members of God's team, as servants of the Lord, is not only inside here, inside our churches, but also outside there and as wide as the world. That's our mission field. My final takeaway from our recent mission trip to Uganda is simply this. Number one, the world is a big place. Number two, wherever you go, you do find God's people, the right people in the right places, doing the right things and serving the Lord. And number three, wherever you go, you still find people, even more people, both small and great, big and small, who need to be ministered to, both those who are God's people and also who are not God's people yet. Effective ministry teams back then in Nehemiah's time are still essential today. We need the right people in the right places, doing the right things and serving the Lord, who have a right mission mindset, because ministry, whether big or small, near or far, has the same need. It takes a team. Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.